Well, let me first of all say that we didn't intend, in competition with Rotana Jets, to be the first. We happened to be, when we made the announcement, the first to make the announcement. Rotana Jets clearly would like to operate before us, but we had our planned date of the 3rd of October for some months. It's very difficult to say what the competition will be like in domestic travel, because there have been no domestic air links within the UAE for a large number of years. Gulf Air, I believe, operated some limited services when it operated as one of the Gulf carriers before. Certainly with our initial frequency of four flights per week, we don't expect to have a large number of domestic travellers. And until such time as you're able to offer an out and a return for a business day, then of course you won't appeal to business travellers per se.
Two airlines offering domestic flights within the UAE. How much room is there for additional domestic airlines? Is there any?
I think it's just too early. The UAE population is quite large. It is growing. The cities have not been connected before by air and have no other connection other than by road. And everybody knows from the traffic reports every day on Dubai Eye, for example, and other radio stations, you hear about the immense volume of traffic that's between Abu Dhabi and Dubai on a daily basis. And we certainly know from talking to businesses and individuals within Ras Al Khaimah that there are a large number of people who do spend a significant amount of time regularly in Abu Dhabi. And so there certainly is a market. Whether we can attract people off their motor vehicles, that's our challenge. We've got to have a competitive fare, we've got to have an efficient service, and we've got to offer times which suits the business travellers.
Speaking of competitive fare, how has the Rotana Jet price point of about 200 dirhams per flight affected your ticket pricing? How much do I need to pay for a flight from Ras Al Khaimah to Abu Dhabi and back?
Well, our opening price, our lowest price, is 410 dirhams return. That's a price that we had basically agreed upon before Rotana Jets announced their fare. I think it's a reasonable fare at the lowest end. I don't think it'll be the only fare, and I don't think it will necessarily be available for every passenger. As the demand, it's a supply and demand issue. There are only a limited number of seats, and so as you fill the aircraft, the fare will go up, as in any business.
So you don't think that the competitive prices from your competitors will put pressure on your pricing?
I don't know. I mean, it's for our competitors to decide on how they want to approach the marketplace, and we will try and be competitive. But our focus is not purely on domestic travellers. We're looking also for our international travel onto our own network, plus, of course, the co-chair flights, which will be an all-inclusive fare from Ras Al Khaimah to, for example, London, Manchester, or whatever.
One more on competitive prices. How can you offer those with such high fuel prices at the moment?
Well, I think you're right to believe that is not a sustainable fare for every seat on the aircraft. But I think those people who are able to plan their trips some reasonable time ahead and therefore are able to book early will be able to take advantage of the cheaper fare. That, of course, is the whole idea, to have security of your business by being able to sell some of your seats early on.
How much do fuel costs make up of your operating costs, your total operating costs?
If you take all of the operating costs, which is the cost of the aircraft, the cost of the business, the people in the business, fuel is about a third of the total cost of the business these days.
How well are you hedged?
We don't hedge. We're too small to hedge. It would be too costly for a company of our size to hedge for fuel.
Now, Iraq Airways recently signed a code-sharing deal with global player Etihad. What are the benefits for Iraq Airways to have this code-sharing deal in place?
Oh, well, the benefits are far-reaching. I mean, if you start in terms of the brand, by having a brand which is endorsed by Etihad, will demonstrate to people how far the business has grown and what the quality of Iraq Airways is today, because Etihad would not put their name behind just any other carrier. That's the first part of it. Secondly, it gives us the opportunity, Iraq Airways, to widen our network and our appeal so that we have an offering to points beyond the regional route, which we would only be able to fly ourselves on our own aircraft. But importantly, it means that the whole of Etihad's network can now access Ras Al Khaimah. And of course, from our point of view, every time a passenger that is an Etihad passenger gets on our flight in Abu Dhabi, we received an income from Etihad for the privilege. So there's some significant benefits for us.
And for the passenger, it's also easier to travel with you than with your competitor?
Well, I definitely believe so. I mean, we have, first of all, Ras Al Khaimah Airport is very compact. It's very small. Parking is free. It's easily accessible. You can be in and out of Rak Airport very quickly. Transfer is airside in Abu Dhabi in both directions, which means that your bags are through-checked to Ras Al Khaimah or to your final destination, and all you have to do is literally walk out of one aircraft through the terminal and through the departure gate to your Etihad or your Rak Airways flight. So it simplifies the process, and as I say, the ease of travel to and from Rak Airport shouldn't be underestimated. Small is beautiful in this regard.
Will there be more code-sharing deals that will follow, let's say with Emirates or Fly Dubai, or is the one with Etihad the only one?
Well, certainly, we would not be able to operate a codeshare deal with either Air Arabia or Emirates, even if either of us wanted one, because the economics of operating the codeshare flight between Dubai and Ras Al Khaimah would make it an impossible business.
So that's a no, then?
So that's a no in that regard. However, with other carriers at other ends and other parts of our network, and as our network grows, yes, we will be looking for strategic partnerships going forward.
Speaking of strategic partnerships, have you managed or do you plan to set up deals with government entities so that their employees travel with Rak Airways to and from Abu Dhabi, the capital?
Well, we already have. There is a Fly Rak policy with the Ras Al Khaimah government. At the moment, obviously, up until today, it's not been possible for their travel to Abu Dhabi, and we're very hopeful that we can make, as we develop the frequency of the Abu Dhabi service, we can make it very appealing to government entities, to the military, for example. There are large numbers, we believe, of the UAE military who are resident in Ras Al Khaimah, but who work or who operate out of Abu Dhabi. And again, an air service would, a regular air service with good frequency, would make it very, very appealing for them.
Will there be travel packages for people coming from Europe or from Asia traveling to the country so they get a combination ticket and hotel?
Well, that's what we plan to. We're in the early days with our Rak Holidays products, and we've been looking only on our existing network to date in terms of selling short breaks and packages. But now that we've launched the European services, we'll certainly be looking at working in conjunction with Rak Tourism and hotel partners here to offer what is a great destination, Ras Al Khaimah, and superb value for money, and what is a short drive from Dubai, from the shopping and the sights. So I believe there's a fantastic potential for Ras Al Khaimah from Europe.
What other plans do you have for the future? Expansion plans, especially when it comes to new routes. One route is planned, that's to Dammam in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Yes. With only two aircraft at the moment, it's very difficult to operate an efficient network. And it's important for us to improve the connections between our destinations, because we do derive a significant proportion of our business from passengers who start in one destination, who transit across Ras Al Khaimah to another. And first of all, we want to improve the connectivity, and we'll be adding more frequency to those destinations. And certainly what we want to do is to add those destinations which give us a network balance. And the first one will be Dammam in the summer of next year. And then we'll look again as we move through the summer with the same thing in the winter when we add the fourth aircraft, improve the network performance so people have efficient connections to the places that they want, and then we'll add destinations as we feel they're appropriate.
Your 12th destination, where's that destination likely to be?
Well, we haven't made a final decision, nor do we need to make a final decision for several months. We've got our eyes on a couple of destinations, one of which we can already fly to, so we have the approvals, one of which we're seeking the approvals. So it really depends. For us, a lot of it is about seeking governmental approvals to be able to operate. We're a little way behind the big players.
John Brayford, CEO of Rak Airways, thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.